This morning I want to share with you from God's Word, Corinthians chapter 10, if you would find that passage together. We're going to be speaking about temptation, and it's just a sad fact, dear folks, that temptation is an ever-present factor in this life for every live human being. Amen? If you are without temptation, need to take a heartbeat. Need to see if you've still got a pulse. Because you see, from Adam and Eve to us right here today, the failure to resist temptation has been the source of countless tears of regret. It has led us to places we should not be, places we should not go, and to attitudes we shouldn't have. Unfortunately, the giant of temptation has captured the lives of many, many people. But if we're going to walk victoriously in our spiritual life, we've got to learn to defeat temptation, because temptation is a daily battle. And should I not even say it's a daily battle? Folks, it is a moment-to-moment battle, is it not? Have you ever felt a great victory in your life and the Lord led you to victory, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're just back on your face again? Here's a truth you need to hear. And I am convinced quite vividly that that's the reason that Satan is battling my body this morning. He doesn't want you to hear this message with power. So I'm going to ask you, would you hear the Lord speak? And if he should choose to use me, I'm thankful. Amen. I'm thankful that God has provided a way of escape from every temptation. Not just one, not just some, but from every temptation. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. God's Word tells us, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Father, your word is clear, your word is plain, and it is here for us to be victorious. Would you help us this day, Lord, to cling to it, for it is the answer to our needs. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? I am so thankful that 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in these very short verses, tell us that God has provided us a way from every, to escape every temptation. Now, Paul the Apostle wrote about this particular need to the church of Corinth. Now, we have the letter, and it's called what? Corinthians. We have two letters, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Now, he's writing to the church at Corinth. Now, what do you know about Corinth? Do you know much about it? It may not seem like it's very important, but folks, it really is, because you see, Corinth was a seaport, kind of like Houston. It was a crossroads city, kind of like Houston. And as such, it was home to every kind of man in the world and every kind of sin known to man. It was a place full of corruption and hurt. It was filled with every conceivable sin and temptation that can possibly flaunt itself in their culture. And folks, far too many Christians have become statistics in the war of sin. They fall, they fail, they fall behind. And I'm going to tell you, we need these words just as much as the church at Corinth did we not? We need these words, because just as much as the Corinthian believers needed it, we need it. Because we find from this scripture that temptation is not only our constant foe, but it is to every person. And from the first point this morning, we all experience a common temptation. Would you look at verse 13 again with me? Look at verse 13. It says, no temptation. Now, if God's word says no temptation, what does that really mean? It means no temptation. It didn't say some temptation or partial temptation or occasional temptation. It says no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. So folks, what God's word is saying is we all experience the same temptation. Paul tells us that no one experiences a unique temptation. You see, Satan likes us to feel isolated. He likes to make us feel alone, like we're the only ones, like we're by ourselves, like we can't use one another, like we're literally in the bottom of a barrel looking up and there's nothing and nobody there to help us. He likes us to feel alone, and somehow we get the idea that the temptation that we face, the temptation that I face, no one else has ever faced this kind of temptation before. Or maybe we think, okay, they faced this temptation before, but they've never been through just exactly what I have when they had to face it. They don't have the kind of hurt and heartache, difficulty, problems, rejection, aloneness, etc., etc., that I have. And God's word tells us that that's just not true. Have you ever just felt so alone in your temptation, so alone in your battle? You think, you know, where is God in my need? Nobody else has been through that. You know, we talked not long ago about Elijah who crawled up in that cave after a big battle, and he was tired and he was worn out and he was just exhausted. And he got up there and he said, I'm the only one. And God said, you're not the only one. You're not even close to the only one. Sometimes we just feel alone. Temptation, dear friends, is the common enemy of every person on this earth. And there are no unique situations that would excuse us from the command that God gives us to resist temptation and to defeat it. Scripture illustrates to us from Genesis to the Revelation that every person, every man, every woman experiences temptation. You may recall that Abraham lied about his wife. Noah got drunk. David committed adultery and even murder. Jonah rebelled against God, the prophet. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ, not once, not twice, but three times. John Mark surrendered to missionary service and then quit. He went home. He gave up on his missionary commitment. Paul and Barnabas, they got mad at each other and got so cross with one another, they parted ways and said, fine, you go your way, I'll go mine. And they just went separate ways in the ministry. You know, it's just not a new problem, is it? Did you know that even the Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted just as we are? But I want you to understand there is something very important about this thing to remember from Jesus' temptation, and that is that temptation itself is not sin. It is the yielding to temptation that's sin. Jesus Christ was tempted, and yet he did not sin. You see, temptation is the exposure to the possibility of doing wrong. But being exposed to the possibility is not the sin. So what is the sin? Actually committing the wrong. That's the sin. Every person is tempted. Just because you have a temptation come to you and a thought come to you doesn't mean it's a sin. That's why we are to be spiritually sensitive and to reject those things that come in as temptation. Jesus was tempted, but he was also without sin. Listen to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. It says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. what good would it be to have a high priest who doesn't know what we're going through, who doesn't know how to pray for us, the one who intercedes for us between us and the heart of God is Jesus Christ. And he intercedes not with a lack of understanding, but with full understanding. He's been through every temptation and yet did not sin. Dear friends, I want you to understand this. This is not going to be a fun phrase, but did you know that the Bible offers absolutely zero hope that temptation will leave us in this life? No hope. It's just one of the things we have to face. There is no hope that you'll get through the rest of your life without temptation. In fact, the longer you live and the longer you walk with Jesus Christ, the more you grow in maturity, the more intense and the more subtle the temptation that Satan begins to throw at you. Why would he need to throw a temptation at somebody that's living in the pit? Folks, he tries his hardest on the folks who are trying their hardest to avoid him. Satan seems to work overtime in devising traps and devices by which we might fall, and especially for those who have an intent in their heart to truly follow Christ. Here's a difficult truth. It's just stated in a different way. Folks, we will not kill the giant of temptation in this lifetime. Not in your lifetime. While you are in this earth and on this earth and in this life, you will not be able to kill the giant of temptation. But God's word does offer every hope and every opportunity for resisting temptation, and we can indeed learn to defeat Satan in our daily battles. And all God's people said, amen. You see, God's word tells us that the wrong desires that come into my heart, the wrong desires that come into your heart are not new to you, are not new to me. Many others have faced the exact same problems that we have. That's what the scripture is telling us. Temptation, dear friends, is to be expected. It's to be expected. So, with that in mind, let's prepare for it. And let's prepare and plan for its defeat. Amen? Not for its victory in us, but for its defeat. Here's something that you may not have known. And that is this. Did you know that God is in control of temptation? Did you know that? I am not saying that God is your tempter. Let us not say that God is the one tempting us. God's word says he is not the tempter, but God is in control of temptation. That's one of the greatest truths about temptation that we find in verse 13 here. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Folks, if every believer in Christ could internalize this truth, our battles with temptation would be much shorter and would result in far more victories if we would just remember that God is in control of our temptation. Temptation occurs in an environment that is controlled by God. Now, what exactly does that mean? The temptation that God allows you to experience are not more than you can resist with God's help. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people who misquote a truth in the Bible. They misquote this and they say, God's never going to put more on you than you can stand. How many of you ever heard that? Maybe even some of you have quoted that. Folks, that is a misquote. It never says in God's word that God will never allow more to be put on you than you can stand. And I've had people say that this goes with physical difficulties, emotional difficulties, even sin. He never said that we would not be pressed beyond our limit. As a matter of fact, we're going to read in just a moment from 2 Corinthians, a good example of that Paul says. But I want you to know this, That it doesn't matter whether it is physical, whether it is emotional, whether it is mental, whether it is spiritual. God's word never said that we do not come to our limit. It never says that. It says we never come to our limit with God's help. I must ask you, did Jesus Christ carry his cross all the way to Golgotha's hill? Joseph of Arimathea was there. He used his tomb, but we recall, and I tell you what, I can't move around. I'm going to hang on. Is that okay? You know I like to walk and talk with you, but this morning I'm going to stay close by here. God's word tells us that a man was pressed into service when Jesus Christ fell beneath the load of his cross, and he carried it to Golgotha's hill for Jesus Christ. Understand that we are never put beyond what we can bear with God's help. All temptation is under God's control, and he doesn't give us more than we can resist with his help. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, the scripture tells us that Paul had such an occasion. Let me just share with you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us." Paul was trying to tell them, look, we got to the point that we thought we were going to die, and we even wished at one point that maybe we would. But God did not leave us on our own, for we trusted not in ourselves, but in God the Father. He described himself as being tested beyond his own strength, and yet not beyond God's ability to deliver him. That's the core truth of this verse that we're talking about this morning. Most of us, if I would ask you, would prefer that we just never face temptation. Amen? Most of us would say that, but I'm going to tell you there is a reason that God allows Satan to tempt us. Most of us would say, hey, I just would rather not be tempted at all. That way I stay fresh and pure, right? But here's what would happen if that were true. You'd never be able to demonstrate your passionate love for God. And you're going, what? If you were never tempted, you would never be able to demonstrate your passionate love for God. You'd be kept from showing your loyalty and your great love for God and his holy word, as opposed to the things of this world. Because when you choose over temptation, when you choose over evil, you're choosing Christ. You're choosing God, and that blesses the heart of our Lord. Let me explain this. You see, God did not create us to be simple robots. Amen? We've talked about this before. We're not robots that are just simply programmed to say, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." Otherwise, we'd be like that little Chatty Cathy doll that so many of us knew about growing up and was given to little girls, and it would say whatever was programmed into it. Listen, we are not programmed. We are given freedom by God to choose. And God would receive no glory from our decision to resist him, to resist temptation and to obey him if we didn't have the chance to resist temptation. I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories. If you've been an experiencing God, you've heard this story from Richard Blackaby. Richard Blackaby had a young son, and knock came at the door one afternoon, and his buddies were at the door, and they said, "Hey, can Michael come out and play?" And Michael went and asked his father, he said, can I go outside? And he goes, well, son, you know, we're going to be leaving soon. And he said, oh, Dad, please, can I go? And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to let you go. But he said, I want you to stay right here close by. Don't leave this area. Do not cross the street over here. Do not cross the street over here. And he said, I want you to stay right there. And he said, okay, Dad, I'll do that. And he promptly went outside with his buddies. And a short time later, Richard said that he went to the window just to see what was going on. And he said, I looked out the window, and there was my son and his three buddies standing right on the edge of the street that he told him, do not cross. And he said, it was very obvious that the boys were pointing across the street over at a place that something that was just so wonderful that nobody could resist it. He said, they were saying, this over here, let's go over here. And he said, he could see his son shaking his head. And all the guys were saying, no, come on, come on. He said, he could just hear in his mind's eye the taunts of these boys. Oh, come on. Are you going to miss it? You're not going to go with us. You're going to stay here. What are you going to do? And he said that he could see his son right on the edge of that street, wanting to go with those boys who were saying, come on with me. Come on with us. And finally, he saw the boys throw their hands at him like, oh, fine, just go home to your mama. And he said he saw his son turn and walk back to the house. And he said, I closed the curtain real fast, and I went and sat down in my chair and picked up my paper. And my son came in, and he goes, oh, son. He said, I thought you were going to play with the guys. And he said, Dad, I just decided that I'd rather come in and spend some time with you. Richard said, at that point, as a daddy, I'd have bought him anything he asked for. Because he said, you know, the fact that my son honored my word and was obedient to my word blessed my heart so much it was hard to explain. Folks, God did not create us to be robots. But when the world says, come with me, walk with me, go with me to the places that you know you're forbidden to go, God is watching. And he gives his strength for us to say no. And instead, what a wonderful thing it is to go and spend time with the Father. When we resist temptation, dear friends, God is glorified in our choices. Even though God gives us the strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he does. When we pray and ask God for the strength, it's his strength that lets us have the victory. Amen. It's not our own. And even though God is the one who gives us that power and that strength, to resist or not to resist is still our choice. We have the choice to pick up the cause of Christ. We have the choice to take the power. We have the choice to gain his strength and to be able to say no. And then he is glorified or not glorified according to our choice. Does that make sense? Folks, we are given the choice. God gives us the strength to make the choice. Because you see, in every temptation, God provides a way of escape. The scripture tells us there in verse 13, let's read it again. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, when we're tempted, God sees the end of the temptation, our escape, at the same time that he sees the beginning of the temptation. God sees it from beginning to end. We only see the beginning, and then we progress through it. We have to figure it out as we go. God does not have to figure it out as we go along. Amen? God knows what's going on. And when the test begins, God already knows our way out, and he's presenting it to us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 tells us that because Jesus Christ himself was tempted, he is able to aid those who are now tempted. All we have to do is call on Christ. All we have to do is ask him for help. And he is able to come immediately to our aid when we are tempted, because Jesus Christ has already been there, done that, defeated it. That is our choice. He knows the way of escape. and he has it ready for us if we will but call. Consider this. Temptation is not so much a matter of what we do and what we don't do, as much as a matter that it is who we love and how much we love him. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when it comes down to that and we begin to understand that our sin and our choice to defeat sin and our temptations and our choices to resist temptation, that it's not so much doing as it is telling Christ we love him or we don't. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we cultivate in our hearts a relationship of love with him, that love for Christ Jesus in itself will keep us from many faults and from much sin, just because we love him to say, you know, I don't want to offend him. I don't want to hurt him. You see, the more we love him, the more his heroic image as the one who knew no sin becomes a more powerful beacon to us. We say, Lord, I love you. I want to be like you. God, I want to do this for you. I want to defeat this in your name. When we're living with Christ in fellowship daily, it is much harder for us to consider grieving our Lord. When we walk with him, when we talk with him, when we truly love him, it's harder to hurt him by sinning. You see, he becomes more than just the preacher of the do's and don'ts. Instead, he becomes our way of escape. You remember John chapter 14, verse 6? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Folks, if we want to overcome temptation, it's going to have to be by the way, who is always there, who is always present, and is always for us. With every temptation that we face, there is a point that we know that we have a way of escape. Would you look at verse 13 with me again? And I want you to notice something. If you've got your Bibles open, look with me there. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make, what does it say? The way of escape. It doesn't say many ways of escape. It doesn't say a way of escape. It says, who will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Do you understand what this scripture is saying? And I'm going to tell you that this is crucial for you. This is crucial for me. Upon every temptation that ever faces us, this scripture, this tiny little two words, the way of escape, are important for us. If we choose not to take that way, it will not be there later. God's word says there is a way, singular, of escape. And if we do not heed that very moment when our mind says, here's my escape, here's a way out, I can turn from this, I can turn that away, I can turn myself away, I can walk away, I can close my eyes, I can say no. When we do that, that way is God's provision. And if we don't take it, we will never have that particular escape in that particular moment again. It's gone. We must take it when God shows it to us. Not to take it is an indication that we did not want to escape the temptation at all to begin with. And folks, that in itself raises another level of concern about our desire to obey God in the first place. It brings to question our deep love of God. The word escape, he said, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. That word escape that Paul uses was sometimes used to describe a very narrow passage, much like perhaps you see in an old Western where they turn down into a little draw and nobody knows it's there, and there is this steep canyon that leads out of the box canyon, but there's this steep way and they go through with hills and cliffs on either side. Can't turn left, can't turn right, but it is an escape. And that word escape describes that kind of the passageway out. It's a single narrow choice that we have to make. Now, folks, here's the thing. You may be thinking, well, you know, if I get past that first deal, I could always quit later. Well, you might be able to. There might be other places that you could jump off, but some damage has already been done. By yielding to the first part of that temptation, you have already sinned before God in your heart, in your mind, and then with your body, whatever the sin may be. Again, there might be places that you could jump off, but it's going to be much, much harder. God gives you the way of escape in the beginning. And the further you go, the more difficult it is to escape Satan's snare. So we come to the point of decision. God's word is pretty plain. The question is, why not decide to be a committed Christian today? Amen? That right here, right now, that we can be committed to defeating the giant of temptation. We can't kill him. Not in this lifetime. Scripture says that in that day when this life is over and we all go to be with our Lord and our God, that God is going to chain him. He's going to open the pit and throw him in there. Praise God. But until that day, he and all of his cohorts are very free to tempt you and me. Folks, we need to be very careful because you see, God has promised a way out of every test. Every test. But that way out still requires a choice from you. And it requires a choice in every instance. You can say yes or you can say no. Choose the way that God has provided. Amen? Choose the way that God has provided. And God's word says that the giant of temptation will flee from you. That is the promise of God. Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, how many times have we seen your escape? How many times have we seen that narrow path and ignored it, Lord? Oh, from the depths of our heart, Father, we ask for forgiveness. With every temptation, God, you provide the way of escape. And we ask you, Lord, would you not only help us to have our hearts and minds aware of it, but Lord, to take it, to take the escape, to flee from the things that would lead us against you. Lord, we ask and pray that this day, even as we enter this time of prayer, that each and every one of us would ask for your grace and your strength and a determination that we would seek the choice that would bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Father, it seems like it would be so easy if we just didn't have the temptation. But Lord, we are realizing all the more that it is a chance to give you glory and honor by the way that we deal with it. To tell the world no when they want us to cross those lines. And to come and spend time with the Father. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you take this opportunity to speak to your Lord?